You're listening to the Candidly with Coffee podcast, the show that gives you straightforward and candid advice on all things nutrition, fitness, and lifestyle with your host, Janine Escobar.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Candidly with Coffee.
We back.
We have coffee.
Happy Mother's Day, babe.
Thank you.
Got a big old coffee over there.
I got a big old coffee. It's a Sunday morning. For listeners, it's a Monday morning.
Yep.
But I love mornings. Mornings are better.
More energetic.
I have so much more energy in the morning. I'm a morning person.
Yeah. Start to wind down. You start to wind down like by 5 p.m.
I call it power down. Like I literally start to power down at 5 p.m. And it's because that's my 12th hour awake.
Yeah, it's true.
Because even though sometimes I don't get out of bed at 5 a.m., I usually am like waking up about 5 a.m. Sometimes earlier. Last week, one of the days I woke up at 3:30 a.m.
No, that's early. That's happened to me before too.
And I couldn't get back to sleep. I didn't get out of bed till like 5:05 or something like that. But I was up for an hour and a half just checking emails and
catching up on stuff.
Yeah, but it's just like my mind starts spinning.
Starts thinking about business and this and that.
All the things I got to do and then boom. But then on the flip side, then the evenings I'm worthless.
Completely worthless. Tired, that's it. Your brain only has so much battery life till it wants to.
Yeah, you know that there's a study that says it's proven that after 12 hours awake, each hour after that, you function more and more inebriated, as if equivalent to being drunk on alcohol.
But that's why they changed the law. I don't know. I'm pretty sure it's 12 hours now, but I think truck drivers can't drive more than either 10 or 12 hours. But they used to drive like 16, 18 hours and
yeah, because crash it's equivalent to being intoxicated, like a certain level of intoxication with each hour past 12.
Yeah, that's crazy.
That you're up. So if you're going to try to accomplish very important tasks or, you know, tasks that require a lot of like your brain power, you should get those done in the first hours of your being awake and not the last hours.
Yeah, because you can't think
it's just not as quality.
No, it's kind of like a lot of I'm guilty of it. You're trying to pack at night and you're tired. You can't think of what to pack. You're overthinking it. Versus daytime, you're a little more sharper.
Like, oh, okay. Yeah.
You know, your brain works a little more. It's firing off a little better cylinders.
Yeah. And I know that some people are, some people are a night people versus morning people.
That's true.
But that I get, but there is something to be said for like when the brain is fresh.
Yeah, of course.
When the brain is fresh and you don't have all of the like, I don't know, the stuff in your head that you've acquired throughout the day. It's like you got this clean slate.
Like I used to be a hardcore afternoon, nighttime workout person for many years. I'm gonna be in bed. I like working on the morning, get over with her first part of the day.
Well, it's actually you're not protecting your sleep. If you work out in the evenings, you're
raising sleep at
cortisol.
Night. Yeah.
You have all your
adrenaline's going.
Adrenaline. Huh? You are wiring yourself up and then it's harder and longer to power down.
It is.
Because you can't just go to sleep. You have to power down. You have to start to kind of like remove like stimulus, right? Mm-hmm. So for me, the first thing I do is, okay, I close the laptop. You know, and I used to have a really bad habit actually of taking the laptop to bed with me and doing work up until, like that was a bad habit. That's not protecting the sleep routine.
That's true. You did used to do that.
I used to do that a lot. And I stopped doing that. So the first thing I do is I shut down the laptop, but I'll still be on my phone for a little bit. So watch some TV. But then the next thing that goes is the phone. I turn it on do not disturb. And I turn off, Alyssa taught me that you could turn off the blue light in your phone. There's a night mode in the iPhone.
You taught me that too.
If you go to settings and you go to the brightness setting, you could turn off the blue light. It makes your phone look really yellow. But if you still want to be on your phone for a little bit, maybe watching some videos to go to sleep or whatever, but you can have it on the night mode so that you don't mess with your melatonin production, because the blue light in devices halts melatonin production.
So you set mine up. So mine turns yellow at like 9 o'clock every night.
Yeah. Yeah. I put yours on a timer. Yeah. You could set it on a timer. So then I turn that setting off, and then my phone is on a timer. So at 7:15 till 7:15 the next day, 12 hours, it is on a do not disturb. So if text messages come in or notifications or whatever, I don't see them on my phone for those 12 hours, because at night I don't want to be on my phone, because I don't want to be getting texts that gets me all worked up or whatever. So I that's part of powering down, getting ready for a good night's sleep. And then in the morning when I'm up early, the whole point of being up early is to not like get bogged down on your phone. You know what I mean? With text messages and this and that. I do other things, other tasks that are on my to-do list for the day.
Yep.
Like,
smart.
Like Monday morning, it'll be post this podcast and, you know, go into my group and start scheduling some posts, replying to client emails. I do a lot of like important work stuff, but I don't want to get bogged down with text messages and things like that. So I protect that. I protect my time, and I've become a much more productive person since I started doing that.
Crazy. Whoever thought we'd be morning people that early? I hated waking up in the early mornings. I remember 7 a.m. was just a struggle.
I love it, though. And then, so I get those tasks done, and then we start the day with a walk. It's like the perfect start to the day.
Get the body moving. Like you said, get the
endorphins movement. Going. Vitamin now that D. The weather is good, it's vitamin D.
Yep.
Like good old-fashioned vitamin D. You cannot underestimate
the power of the sun.
The power of the sun for immunity and everything. You know, yes. A lot of people lose sight of the things that you're not getting enough of anymore that maybe you did before the pandemic that could be affecting your health also.
You need vitamin D in your life. It's impossible. It strengthens your body, your immunity, sets good moods, you know, for your body. It's happy.
Yeah, it's important. And it's important to identify if you're in an area maybe that you don't get a lot of sunlight, like where you live, or you've been like really, you know, meticulous about staying at home with the whole pandemic. You probably should get your good work full blood panel done just to figure out where certain things are. And vitamin D is one of those things. If you're deficient, you need to supplement with vitamin D. And you can't just supplement with vitamin D. It's like, because vitamin D isn't easily absorbed through a supplement, there's also an additional supplement you have to take it with. And I can't remember, so I'm not going to say what it is, but you have to take it with so that you truly absorb the supplement. But vitamin D is one of those things that a lot of people become deficient in, especially like elderly.
Yeah.
Elderly. And it's a very important thing for your immunity.
Immunity.
Zinc and vitamin D are super, super important.
I lost my thought.
I was a deep thought.
I was waiting patiently.
I know,
I lost my thought. I got all.
It fell right out of your
it
brain.
It did. It said, boop, it jumped out.
Drink more of that coffee.
I know, right?
I've got what I did was a cold brew. But at home, I frothed up some unsweetened almond milk and my Nut Pod cinnamon swirl creamer and dumped it in here. And it is really delicious.
You dumped a little bit in my coffee, too. Good, tastes pretty good, yeah.
And I added vanilla stevia, too.
Mm.
I like to do that whenever possible. Do my own thing so that I know exactly what's in something. So there's no, like, mess up.
No hidden
shit. I'm slightly paranoid about Starbucks that they're going to mess up my order and put in the real sugar.
Yeah, right.
Instead of like, you know, and they don't care. Mm. You know, they're making a million drinks. They're just going to pump two pumps of cinnamon dolce syrup, but the real thing and not the sugar-free. Like, I know it's right. It's dumb because who cares? At the end of the day, it's not that big a deal. But I don't want to, if I'm going to have sugar, I want to choose to have it. I want to, you know, have a bite of my apple fritter.
On your terms.
On my terms.
Yes.
I don't want to mess up.
On somebody else's terms.
Yeah, one time I'll never forget. I was in prep, so back in the day, for my fitness competition stuff, you know, like serious, like Alyssa, where everything counts. And I went to sushi with some friends, and I was dying of thirst, and I allowed myself a Diet Coke, which was a big deal to have a Diet Coke, because I wasn't even technically supposed to have that on prep. And they served me my Diet Coke, and I slurped like what felt like half the Coke before I realized that it was regular Coke. Damn. I was so angry. Like, I'm embarrassed to admit how angry I got. I was so angry that I called the waitress over. I'm like, you realize this is real Coke? She's like, I'm so sorry. I'm like, sorry, but sorry is not going to extract the Coke from my body right now. I already drank half of it. Like, I didn't even know what I wanted the poor lady to do. Like, it was an honest mistake. And it's my fault for slurping the whole thing down like a crazy person.
You be
person.
Chugging them Diet Cokes too, man.
I chug.
You chug mine down too sometimes.
I know. But yeah, anyways. But I do have like this. So whenever I can, I like to have my own thing. So like, I actually posted a Reels about it, like how to like go out to eat, you know, like certain things you can do to like reduce the intake, your caloric intake when you go out to eat. It's bring your own dressing in the little container.
That's you.
I do that. Or
bring pack my, your own little chips.
Bring my own creamer, pack my own chips.
Yep.
Because if I can save on calories but still indulge and be eating out, like why
That's
not?
That's smart. Yeah, nothing wrong with that.
You know, like yesterday I brought my Siete chips. I brought 150 calories worth of Siete chips and I had guacamole. You know, the regular chips at a Mexican restaurant, you think they're deep fried. It's a flour tortilla that's already got lard in it. Okay. And then they deep fry them in hydrogenated oil. So, I mean, it's more calories, more fat.
And they taste so damn good though.
Oh, they're so good. And what I usually do is I'll still have a couple of those.
Yeah.
So I had my Sietes, but I still had a couple of the chips. Actually, the chips at El Jardin are corn. But the ones that are really bad for you are the best ones. It's the restaurants that deep fry the flour tortillas and they're thick and they're oily.
Oh, man.
Those are the best. Yeah. Like, you know, who has those is Guapo's and Campbell. That's the flour tortilla deep fried.
Oh.
Yeah, it's different. Or also the La Taqueria. It's the flour. Do you never notice the difference between a corn chip and a flour chip?
Dude, it just all tastes super good to me.
Yeah, like in Mexico, it's always deep fried flour. Don't you ever notice the chips?
Yeah.
It's different. And those are, they're worse for you. More calories for sure, but they're the best.
Corn is better for you.
I'm not saying it's better for you because it's GMO and all of this and that, but exactly. It's lower calorie. It's lower calorie. So it just depends. You know what I mean? Like you know, what I preach all the time is awareness, not deprivation.
There you go.
I'm not saying that I'm not going to have any of the restaurant's chips, but I'm going to scale back by bringing my own and have a few of the restaurant chips and the rest my own. It's just like, again, awareness, not deprivation. I don't feel like I can't have a few.
Yeah.
But if I want to maximize what I'm eating, then I try to like, you know, I'll bring my own chips sometimes. No big deal. The easiest thing to monitor is your own dressings. It's so easy. And if you're the type of person that's like embarrassed to bring your own chips, I am not. But if you are, then, but the dressings, you could be super discreet about it. The dressing, you literally just pull it out of your purse, pop it in, and just ask for your salad with no dressing in it.
Yeah.
It's easy.
You got those little containers, huh? Little
they're containers. 2 ounce containers from Amazon. And they just make it super easy. That actually brings up an interesting topic. Alyssa made a comment this morning. We were talking. And I think it's an important thing to point out. What? Eating healthy and eating to lose weight are not necessarily the same thing.
Hmm.
Now, because you can eat healthy and gain weight. You can gain weight on the healthiest foods if you eat too much of it. Excess of the perfect, most healthy whole foods will still make you gain weight.
Yep.
So, and you can lose weight eating unhealthy foods. You could just eat nothing but crap, but lose weight if you're eating a little amount enough. You know what I mean? A deficit enough.
Yeah.
So I'm not to say that you should do it that way. I think the most ideal thing you can do is eat the healthiest you can while you're trying to lose weight, but you don't only have to eat healthy foods in order to lose weight.
True. You made a good point there. Never thought about it like
people
that.
People think that they are like the same thing. Like if you want to lose weight, just eat healthy. Eat healthy and exercise. But that's not enough, actually.
No, it's not.
Because
such a generic
you can
answer.
Overeat healthy foods.
Yeah. It's like people, like you said, when people didn't understand keto, like eating, like even me, eating way too many fat calories and didn't understand it, like overboard. Like I was eating too much.
Oh, and keto can be the most dangerous for somebody
it's deceitful, kind
of. Who doesn't know about eating healthy because you can eat things that are quote unquote keto friendly, but yep. are very unhealthy for you.
Yeah.
So, you know, like the bunless burgers and the bacon and the overdoing it on all the hydrogenated fats with no carbs, because people think as long as I avoid carbs, I'm good, but not necessarily.
No.
So that's one of those things you have to be really careful with. Now, like I said, I think that there's a good balance. I also don't think that it's realistic to eat only healthy food. I just don't think it's realistic. Call me crazy because I am a health and fitness coach or whatever. I'm just like, I prefer to be realistic. And I don't think it's realistic to expect people to eat the perfect way all the time.
No, come on.
I think that you have to understand that they need a little room for indulgence. That's how we are. That's who we are as humans. We can't be perfect. Can't walk the perfect straight line all the time. So rather than pretend, why don't you just allow it and place boundaries on it?
Yep.
You know what I mean? So it's like, okay, do your best and eat primarily healthy food, but allow yourself to eat the food that's not perfect and not, you know, the healthiest, and not feel guilty about it. It doesn't mean that you're not going to reach your goals, because you can eat unhealthy things and still reach your goals. But I think that there's got to be a good balance.
It has to be a balance. You can't do too much of one and not the other. Like you say, it's just got to be a balance.
And for the most part, you know, majority, you know, of healthy foods are just be aware. Like if you have to choose between, if you are feeling like you want a snack, like give it an extra few seconds of thought and think, I could either have this sugar-free Jell-O, processed Jell-O right now, or I could have like a handful of strawberries. Like, let me go ahead and have the handful of strawberries. Have some nutritious, you know, a nutritious whole food snack rather than a processed snack. So if you can sometimes make those choices, then sometimes you make the choice that's the processed snack.
Yeah, it just depends on your mood. That's all. I go on my mood. Most of the time I want strawberry. Sometimes I want a processed snack.
Yeah, and you have to be, and it's okay as long as, you know, you make room for the whole foods.
Exactly. I always think about what you always say, balance.
Yeah, you got to have balance. And you don't have to have, it doesn't have to be, you don't have to eat a perfect healthy diet. But I think it's so funny that people don't realize that eating healthy isn't enough to lose weight.
No. Mm-mm. It's kind of like, I'm not picking on the vegetarian or vegan community. People jump into vegetarians and vegans, I think they automatically think, okay, my body is just going to get healthy. That's it. And I can eat whatever I want.
Yeah.
Because it's vegetarian or vegan because someone said it's okay.
Oh, it's also kind of, you know what's funny?
I'm not going to put someone on blast, but I had a friend who just like, he went extreme into it. Like, okay, but still got to watch your buddy.
It's because it's kind of like the buzzwords. But people associate buzzwords with health and being thin. Yep. Like plant-based. I'm going to go plant-based. They automatically think that if they go plant-based, that they're going to become healthy, thin, fit people.
Yes.
Because it's just kind of like a connotation that's associated with being healthy, being plant-based. It's kind of the new buzzword. Plant-based. Another one that's really funny.
Gluten-free. Gluten-free.
Okay. If you don't particularly have an issue with gluten, picking the gluten-free item versus the non-gluten-free item isn't necessarily going to help you.
Nope.
Don't get fooled into thinking that if you go into a bakery, then there's a gluten-free chocolate chip cookie that you're going to pick the gluten-free one and that's going to make you feel better about having the cookie. 9 times out of 10, the gluten-free one actually has more calories.
Yep, that's why I'm laughing. You're right.
Right?
A lot of people don't know that.
And they just go, oh, it's gluten-free. So they just feel better about eating it. So they're more likely to overeat it because they think it's healthy.
I know, it's hilarious. It's kind of like us. We got duped in our era, like idiots in the 90s. Fat-free. All these Hostess cupcakes and Danishes. Mm-hmm. Oh, Entenmann's. It's fat-free. Oh, wow, it's fat-free. I mean, I can eat this all day long.
Yeah, it's
not knowing there's hundreds of grams of sugars in this stuff.
But it's all but it doesn't matter whether it's the sugar or whatever. Yeah. It's the calories.
It's the calories overall, yeah.
It's the calories.
Lots of calories.
You know, like
fats and calories.
Yeah, like people will automatically, I mean, it just, being in this space and helping people, it makes me realize how much misinformation is out there.
Man.
There is so much misinformation.
Assumptions, misinformation.
That no wonder why it's so hard for people to reach their weight loss goals. Because they keep jumping on different bandwagons of things. When at the end of the day, it's not that difficult. But you have to like remove all of this crap that you have in, that you've absorbed from reading or watching or whatever. You know, people keep jumping on from one bandwagon to the next.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm guilty. I mean, I've done it, but I'm just glad to no longer be stuck in that space where I feel like I have a very good understanding. It's super easy to kind of like blame weight. People want to blame weight gain on like one culprit. And then that culprit becomes the enemy for a while. So it's people are overweight because of carbs. People are overweight because of sugar. People are overweight because of fats. You know, it kind of keeps changing.
No.
None of it's true.
Yeah, which one's next? People are overweight
because of excess.
Excess.
Excess of whatever. Like people want to blame, oh, well, it's the sugar. It's not directly sugar that makes people fat.
No.
It is like, sugar causes you to eat in excess because of the way sugar causes your body to react.
The spike, right?
It causes your blood sugar to spike. It causes your body to release more insulin. When your body releases more insulin, it pulls all of the blood sugar into the muscles, right? Mm-hmm. Rapidly. And yeah. That causes a rapid fall in blood sugar. When your blood sugar drops rapidly,
mm-hmm.
Then your body thinks, oh my God, we need more. Like we need more sugar immediately. So the cravings come out and they're intense.
Yeah.
So you overeat. You overeat. It's easy to overeat because of sugar for that reason, for what the chemical response in our bodies.
It's insane. But
sugar itself, unless it is consumed in excess, unless it contributes to excess calorie consumption, does not make you fat. People just assume.
Assume.
It's all indirect. Everything is indirect. When people like, it's also like when people blame weight gain on hormones. Oh, it's my hormones. That is such a blanket statement. Oh, it's my hormones. Like, okay, but break it what down. Is it your hormones? Yeah. Why is it your hormones? Yeah. What is the hormone? You know, like if it's, oh, I'm going to blame it on cortisol or why cortisol? It's all the things that indirectly cause you to eat more, cause cravings to be higher. Cause you to consume excess calories, which will result in weight gain. But not necessarily the actual hormone itself or the imbalance itself. It's all indirectly what the imbalance causes you to do. Or if something affects your metabolism, right? Or affects your energy output because you're tired. Say you have low sex hormones and your energy plummets. Well, then you're not, your energy output is going to be less because you're tired. You don't have the energy that you once did. So you're not going to exercise as hard. You're not going to exercise at all. Or you're not going to move in between exercising. You're not going to get that non-exercise activity in. So it's all like an indirect effect. People want to blame it directly on something. And I almost feel like it's a crutch for a lot of people. Like it's easy to blame weight gain on something.
They always
want to blame it on something.
Or I'm too busy. Or I don't have time to work out. Or I don't have this. Or I don't have time to cook. Or man, there's a will, there's a way. If you really want to do it, you'll figure it out. If you have a busy day at work and you're going to be gone for the whole day, you know, spend a little time in the kitchen either the morning before or the night of and get your meals ready for the next day and hit the road or do what you got to do. Like just like you said, pre-plan everything. Well, there's a will, there's a way. If somebody really wants to lose weight, they'll find a way. Yeah,
you know, I always
not impossible.
I always compare it to like it's a non-negotiable, right? We've talked about that before. Mm-hmm. Like, just make it a non-negotiable. Like, you're busy, but you're still always going to brush your teeth, right? Mm-hmm. You're always going to make time to brush your teeth. It's never something that, well, I'm too busy, so I'm just not going to brush my teeth this week. Make your workouts like that. You know, make it like that. Make grocery shopping like that. Like, I don't buy it when people say I don't have time to eat healthy or whatever. Like, you're going to the grocery store. It's you choose what you buy.
Mm-hmm.
You choose what you put in your mouth at the end of the day. So you're just making excuses. At some point, you have to look at yourself and think, is this an excuse or is this an actual fact?
And listen, I'll be honest with you. I'm not one to be like whipping up meals in the kitchen. It's not, I've cooked in the past. But air fryer is life-changing. It's easy. It's not much work.
No.
Get an air fryer, people. It's not super expensive.
With everybody. I'm busy. I'm a very busy person. I share all of my tips with everybody to help, you know. I've got chicken in the Instant Pot. It's going to be my chicken for the week, but I added some green salsa in there today. It's going to be like a salsa chicken. I'm going to make enchiladas. You know, that's what I teach my clients. I tell them exactly, like, this is what I do to stay on track. You got to figure out what's going to work best for you, but you have to have some sort of a routine. You can't just, like, fly by the seat of your
try
pants.
Try to wing it.
Yeah, it doesn't really work. It can work on a random day. You know, like maybe I have a routine for the most of the time, but sometimes I just have to kind of like make do. Well, then you make do, but you still control your volume. Maybe you're eating out, but you still can kind of make a healthier choice. You still kind of like keep tabs on your calories for the day. There's no excuse to just completely go off the chain.
No.
You should never allow that just because, you know, your day kind of goes south.
Happens more often than not, though, unfortunately.
I mean, yeah. I don't, you have to.
And let me tell you something. During this pandemic and lockdown, man, these drive-thrus, man, they thrived.
Not the drive-thrus, what are the DoorDash?
DoorDash, too. All of it thrived. Still thriving.
Yeah, but even changed. So, you can still.
I know, it's just a balance, and people just don't realize it's a balance. You can have that. Yeah. Have a burger and fries. Just got to fit it in. Fit into your macros. Balance it out.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I think what I've been really trying to do, especially with my clients, is trying to get them to get away from thinking, get away from trying to put yourself in a box of a certain diet. Don't put yourself in like this box because it doesn't have to. The more like.
I don't even use that word. People just hate that word diet.
The more like restrictions or specifics you can remove so that something doesn't, you know, like it makes it easier to follow. Like anything that you have in life, right? Like if you have all of these rules, it makes it harder to stay on track with something because there's too many rules to follow.
Yes.
If you try to strip away the unnecessary rules, quote unquote, it'll make it a lot easier to follow something. That's what I've really been working on. And it's a mental shift for a lot of clients. And some of the changes that I'm going to be implementing going forward, you know, starting in July with some things that I'm going to be launching are more of that. More of let's stop trying to put ourselves in a box of one particular eating style, a diet, an eating schedule, because you don't need all of those unnecessary rules and restrictions. Let's just focus on the bare minimum of what we need to focus on to reach our goals. Because if we can reach our goals with less rules, why not?
Exactly.
So let's take away the rules.
That's what you
did
for me, kind of, pretty much.
Right, like let's take away the rules. We don't need to have as many rules, and you could still reach your goals. Why not do that? And then, yeah, of course, like just like with anything else, once you get on a good rhythm and you are accomplishing a certain goal, like maybe then you're ready to layer in another element to your lifestyle that maybe takes you up a notch. Maybe you've gotten so good and you're enjoying it so much. Maybe you do want to elevate yourself and take it up a notch. Enter a bikini competition or something.
That happens a lot. Some people,
you know,
just say, you know,
like,
what?
I just want to see what I'm capable of. Now that I got myself to this point,
that's true.
Let me see. You know, that's okay.
It's kind of what you did. You planted the seed.
But most people aren't there yet.
No.
So if you're just at the point where you're still trying to reach your weight loss goals and figure out how in the hell you're going to maintain them, let's strip away those layers of dumb rules you put on yourself. I'm on the OMAD diet. I can only eat one meal a day. Why? Why are you going to put yourself on a rule that you can only eat one meal a day when what if today you want to eat two meals a
day? That's true. There's times I've eaten one. I'm okay. But that's
sometimes
okay.
You eat two. Sometimes you eat three. Sometimes you eat six small meals. You break it up. Sometimes you skip lunch and so you have a bigger dinner.
Yeah.
Or you want to go out to eat so you save up some macros from breakfast and lunch so that you have one big dinner at a restaurant and you can still fit it into your macros because you borrowed some from breakfast and lunch. But if you don't feel like you're on some sort of rule where, oh, I'm only supposed to eat this many meals a day, or I'm only supposed to, you know, I'm not supposed to eat out or whatever, then you can do those things. And then when you do them, you're not going to feel guilty about doing them. So it's not going to make you feel like you failed. And then the failure messes with your motivation. It's like a runaway train. It's like a domino effect.
Yep.
And then it's like midweek, you feel like you blew it. Like, oh, well, I blew it this week. So then what happens? Then the next day, you're like, oh, well, I'm just going to, this week sucks. I messed up this week, so I'm just going to blow off the rest of the week.
No.
And then you're going to restart again on Monday. How many people are doing that? Today is a Monday. You're listening to this. How many of you are restarting today because you let yourself get into that mindset? Whereas if you didn't feel like you were failing the very, very minute that you maybe went off plan or whatever, and you didn't allow your mind to take it and run, then you would have simply just had one off plan moment.
Mm-hmm.
And then what I tell people is, don't worry about those moments. That's part of life. You're going to have them forever. Hopefully those moments are some of the best moments in life, honestly. Just create space between those mess ups, quote unquote. That's what you want to call them, mess ups. To me, it's moments. Worth it moments. That's true. Most of the time I can say they're like worth it. Yeah. Right?
We've had
so
ours.
So just create space between them so that, you know, it's not turning into like a midweek moment into like that runaway train with your brain so that you just say F it the rest of the week and now you've.
Mm-hmm.
Now that midweek moment turned into half a week where you just didn't
care. Or for some of your moms, if you had your cheat on Saturday, enjoyed it very much with drinks, and you're going to enjoy yourself today, it's okay. Tomorrow's Monday.
Yeah, for them, that's today. So if you had a little bit of...
It's okay.
Of, you know, you indulged because it was Mother's Day. Yeah. Who cares? That doesn't mean anything.
No.
In the grand scheme of things.
Don't be mad at yourself. Don't grade yourself.
In the grand scheme of things, 6 months from now, when you look in the mirror and you're like, damn, I did it. I freaking did it. I lost the weight. I'm at my goal weight. This is crazy.
Yeah, right.
And you think back like, wow. And I indulged on Mother's Day.
Indulged.
You know, like I always think like, in the grand scheme of things, those off-plan moments aren't going to impact you getting to your goals. I think, wow, I still made it here, even though I had that donut that one time. I overindulged in chips that one time. I went on vacation that one time. I almost quit that other time. Mm-hmm. But I still got here because you created distance between those times.
Mm-hmm.
And you didn't give up. And you didn't let your brain, like, convince you that you didn't really want it. And you still did it.
Yeah, because the brain always goes back to its safety spot, mm-hmm. where it's comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Goggins said. It always runs back to its comfort zone. So you got to get it out of that comfort zone.
Many, many of those thoughts to myself, like, why do I care? Like, why don't, you know, like during those weak moments, I'm like, why do I care? Why can't I just like not care? But you can't. You can't let yourself.
There's something in you.
Convince. Do not let.
Those are those voices.
The devil on your shoulder convince you that you don't want this because you do want this.
Mm-hmm.
You do want it.
You do. And you'll be grateful and happy. You've had some clients where it's life changing, where they look. They lost so much weight. They look like a whole new person.
Life changing, but without misery too. Because to me, if you can reach your goals and live this lifestyle, but you have to suffer, like in terms of you have to give up having those moments forever. To me, it's not worth it. If someone were to ask me if it's worth it, like if I had to pick one or the other, I would say no, it's not.
Give like, up your favorite food? Like
yeah,
indulgent?
If I had to give up my, like it's like, oh, food is just fuel and that's it. Like you shouldn't get any enjoyment out of food. I'm totally against that mindset. I don't believe in that. And I am probably in the minority because a lot of people that are like health coaches or weight loss specialists and things like that, that's one of the things that a lot of people have that philosophy, like don't attach feelings to food. I don't agree. I think if you can switch your mindset and attach only good feelings to food, like when you're indulging and you're having those moments, don't feel guilty about it. Enjoy it. At least make it worth it.
Yeah.
At least make it worth it. Enjoy. If you're going to have to pay for it a little bit, it's going to have to slow down your progress a little bit. If it's going to, you know, set you back a little bit, then make sure it's worth it. It's not worth it if you're miserable about it or you're sad about it or upset about it.
No. For what? Don't feel guilty. Enjoy it.
Enjoy it. I just have never been one of those people that can wrap my head around only thinking about food as fuel. Now, I do think about food as fuel. I do understand that concept, and there's nothing wrong with that. But it's not all food is. Food is also enjoyment. Food is making memories. Food is having celebrations. It's a lot of things are associated with food that are good, happy things, and I think that that's okay. Birthday cakes and treats and, you know, I don't know, just moments with
loved your family ones. And loved ones. Yeah. Because listen, at the end of the day, it's all about a balance, and it's a marathon, man. And mm-hmm. enjoy those moments with your family and friends and loved ones.
Yeah, you know what? Like celebrations, they're you know how I just said, I just told you guys, right? Create distance between those off-plan moments. Celebrations, there's distance naturally between them. We're not in a period, we don't celebrate birthdays and holidays every day. There's a nice separation mm-hmm. between those things.
So, yeah, like if there's going to be a birthday party, you go to next weekend. If say me and you want to go to a birthday party on a Sunday, and we know it's going to be this delicious food standard, like, you know what, babe, let's wait till Sunday. Let's go eat this food instead.
Well, I know we are. We're going out of town, and we're going to be celebrating a birthday on a Friday. So I'm moving my cheat day. I'm going to enjoy Friday is going to be my cheat. So I'm going to accommodate the celebration. Now, I'll be completely honest with you. If I wasn't cutting, I wouldn't even move my cheat day. I would just, okay, so we're going to celebrate the friend's birthday. We're going out of town. On that Friday, I'm going to enjoy myself. And then I'm still going to have my cheat day. But because I'm cutting and I have a very specific goal, I'm working towards, I have a photo shoot coming up and all of that. I have to be a little more structured with it. But if I didn't have a specific event that I'm cutting for a work-related thing or whatever, mm-hmm. then it would just be a week where I indulged a little more than I normally do. And I'd be okay with that too.
Yeah. Because you know how to pull it back in. It's nothing.
Yeah.
You know what to do. It's
so I'll be completely honest. I'm not going to say like, oh, I would just move my chair. No, I wouldn't. I would just have, it would be an extra indulgent week. And the only reason I can't do that is because, like I said, I have a commitment. But if I hadn't, and it would be perfectly fine. It would be A-okay. But in between now and the trip, on point, after the trip, on point, create distance between that trip and the next trip, and you're fine. Don't put so many rules and restrictions on yourself. And don't always feel like you have to look for progress at every freaking bend in the road, every moment. I think that's what people... What
right.
gets them messed up.
Yeah.
Is they're always looking for change in their body. Like every moment, like every day. Is there change? Is there change? If you're constantly looking, it's so minuscule from day to day that you'll miss it. You have to just don't try to not pay attention. Try to not feel like you need to have constant, do the work, do what you need to do, do what your program guidelines have given, you know, that I've given you, tell you to do. And trust the process a little bit, because if you are always feeling like you have to see change in order to keep going, that's going to stop you dead in your tracks too.
Yeah.
Just trust because the little progress, you know, if you put a little, like the turtle on the marathon, right? And he'll go, but the turtle goes so slow.
But it's going.
But if you just leave the turtle on the trail and you leave him there for 6 months, and even though he went so slow and you go back, he's made quite a bit of progress in 6 months on that trail.
Yep.
Right? Mm-hmm. And that rabbit that freaking lapped him,
mm-hmm.
maybe the rabbit lapped him and got to the finish line faster, but then...
Much faster.
Dropped dead of a heart attack.
Spazzed out.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
They got there, but it's just like, boom.
Yep.
You know? So... Slow and steady wins the race. I know that's an old school saying.
It is old school.
But it's
school.
So true though.
It is.
And though. Even though like if I would have checked on the trail every day and looked at the turtle, I'd be like, damn, this thing is hardly fucking moving. It's not, has it even moved? I can't even tell. Is it moved? I don't know if it's moved because I'm looking every day. But if I wait like a few months and then look, I'm like, oh yeah, shoot. I can't even see the start line anymore. It's way past the starting line. It definitely moved. Because
how come we don't think that way though?
Because you're
why don't we think 3 or 6 months ahead of time? Why do we always think now? Think three
because
or six months.
We're,
vision.
We
yeah, use your vision.
Instinct, it's gotten only worse. Society's even gotten worse. We want instant gratification.
Oh my God. What we see on TV, all these fake ads, do this, do that.
Everything is instant gratification. Instant. Like, yeah, like these.
It doesn't work, people.
Like these, like the vibe. I don't know. I got this.
Oh, what was
keeps,
that one?
It keeps coming up in my Instagram. It's this. This massager that's just a vibrating machine. It just vibrates and you're supposed to hold it onto your fat and it's gonna like break up fat.
I can't believe that we're in 2021 and they're still selling this BS.
It's literally a vibrator that you just rub on your belly. Guess what's gonna happen, guys? You know how earlier in this episode I talked about like that indirect effect? Well, you're so intent on making it melt your fat that if you sit there and rub that thing on your belly for 5 hours because you just want to melt your fat away, yeah, you're probably going to burn some calories doing that. So the extra calories you burn might help something, but guess what? The fat is not vibrating out of your body. That is the biggest bullshit I've ever heard.
I can't believe that people even entertain that. That even like these news stations even like put that on. Like, why would you even put that on TV? That's such bullshit.
Because they
pay. It's a scam.
It's advertisement.
It's just a scam, though. Like, it's a blatant scam. Like, come on, we're 2021. Are you still insulting us? People are still falling for this?
Of course.
God.
Yes. Sad. Because people, they'll do anything.
So sad.
You know, it's so funny.
I know.
It's like
I know.
People will go to
the great lanes to spend endless amounts of money and get nowhere.
Yeah. Like, there's like these things like you strap it around your thighs, you strap it around your belly, you strap it around your arms. You have to do all of this thing to like slim the areas, right? And then you know how much work that is just to like put all these gels and creams and then strap this stuff around you. Like you could have just like done 30 minutes on the treadmill and you'd have been better off.
Get a
people are willing to do
listen.
This.
Get a sauna suit, dude, and do 30 minutes of treatment. You'll be drenched in sweat.
Yeah,
that's all that's
only,
doing.
But that's only water.
I know. But that's what those cream you think's doing. It's probably making them hot. Those areas are hot and making them sweat, thinking
that's
they're thermogenic.
That's all it is water weight. So like sweet sweat, like or those belts around your
yes,
belly. Yes, but it's because it gives you that instant gratification. Because if you take off those bands after you're done, you look, your belly does look slimmer. Because,
suck
you know, if
water.
You have fat cells in your belly, your fat cells hold water. And so if you're targeting that area and causing sweat to be released from that area, it shrinks them temporarily, you know, because it's water. So it's a good way to lose water weight. So like for me, for example, if I have a cheat day, the next day my belly always looks a little squishy. My stomach looks a little squishy because I'm holding more water. So if I want to release that water from my belly, if I put on one of those sweatbands and do some cardio, it'll make me look nice and flat and tight again. Because it releases water from that area, but it's not releasing fat.
Mm-mm. It's not that simple, huh? It's not that simple, huh? If only it were that simple, we'd all be walking around lean. You know what I mean? The whole planet is strapped down on walk around all day.
Yeah, no one would be fat because everyone's willing to throw on a sweatband if that's really going to melt the fat away.
Yeah.
Or do the vibrating massage. If it worked, I would have no problem every day making it part of my routine, rubbing around my love handles with that vibrating massager. You know what I mean? Like, but it doesn't work.
Hitting all your problem areas, right?
You know, like even like a lot of the massage, you know, there's a lot of stuff out there right now about massage for weight loss, like
breaking
losing
up
massage.
Fat.
It's lymphatic drainage is what it is. It's lymphatic drainage.
Explain
it's
it
the same
to people.
Thing. Like your lymphatic system holds water. So if you have inflammation, so those massages that they spend a lot of money. They're expensive. They really were designed for people who have had surgery. Like liposuction and things like that, because the liposuction, it creates a lot of trauma in the area. And with trauma comes inflammation. So your body will hold on to water.
Mm-hmm.
And so those massages are really good post-surgical because it releases that lymphatic. It's basically a draining of the lymphatic system to release that water. So yes, after the massage, you look significantly slimmer. But then if you're post-surgical, the water will come back and you got to kind of keep doing it just to kind of like continuously release water in that area because of the trauma to the area. Now, if you haven't had surgery and you do that kind of massage, it's the same kind of thing. Like I said, if you eat a lot of carbohydrates or you overeat or whatever, and you hold water in that, in your stomach or wherever you hold fat, you'll hold water. So that type of massage will help you release water in that area. And immediately after the massage, you do look slimmer. You feel better. You look slimmer. But you haven't lost fat. You've just lost water from the area.
Mm-hmm.
So you could also accomplish that same thing. Like you said, put on a sauna suit.
Yep.
Get on the treadmill. You can put on a like the sweatbands. Get on a treadmill and work up a sweat.
You go in the gym.
And you're going to release water from that area. Now, just as quickly as you release it, you'll gain it back.
Yep.
You gain it back. So those kind of things, you know, people fall victim to that kind of situation. Not necessarily that that's a scam, but if you're thinking that it's melting fat, if you've been led to believe it's melting your fat away, it's not doing that. And you got to think about this. The people that are doing the massage, are they like super like lean? Or do they have like no fat on their body? Because they own that machine. They could be doing it to themselves every day.
That's a good point.
Right? If they don't have, they if it really worked, they would have no belly fat. So the person who's giving you the massage, do they have belly fat? Do they have any fat? Because they own that special machine and they could do it all day long till the cows come home. But they still have fat too. Why? Because it doesn't really work long term. It's a short term instant gratification thing. People love it because right before the massage, you take a picture. Then after you take a picture and you see the difference, but go drink a gallon of water. The next day, take a look. It's back.
Sorry, you bursted people's bubbles, huh?
Yeah, because sorry, it's a not lot sorry. Of money.
I know.
That kind of stuff that, you know, those massagers and
mm-hmm.
procedures and all of that stuff, it costs a lot of money. And listen, I haven't found one or heard about one that truly works yet. That's affordable.
Yeah.
But when I do, I'll be the first guinea pig in line.
Remember the mummy wraps were a thing for a minute?
I did that.
You did it?
Yeah.
When you wrapped yourself in.
Wrap with the ace band. Oh. It's the same kind of thing. It's basically water. You lose a lot of water. They measure your entire body beforehand. And then they wrap you up like a mummy and put like this solution. It's like a salt solution. So it draws water out of your cells. And then they make you work out, wrap like a mummy. They make you work out for like 30 minutes. And then they measure you and go, oh my gosh, you lost all these inches. And you feel so lean when you leave that place, but it lasts a day.
They just made you feel, they made your endorphins feel good for a day.
Yeah, it's right back. I mean, like, it doesn't work, guys. You got to remember.
Do you feel duped?
It's ridiculous when you think about it. Like, but yeah, I did it. And it was like $100. It was like not cheap. You know, but it doesn't work. And just remember, if something like that worked, if a machine like that worked or a massage like that worked, celebrities would be having someone come to their house and they'd do it every day and they'd be walking around with no body fat.
None.
Because zero. Money's not a job object for them.
Nope.
Right. So these procedures are expensive. So for the people that can afford the procedure and they could do it like every day, they would have no body fat. None. You know, so, or the person that's doing the procedure on you, they would have no body fat because they work there, right? So they would be doing it to themselves every day and it would be a miracle, right? But yeah. Anyways, bursting bubbles every day.
Bursting bubbles.
Bursting bubbles. Uh-oh. Here we go.
Hurting feelings.
That's all right. I'm here to keep it real.
That's it. That's all we could do is keep it real.
That's all we can
not
do.
Not trying to sugarcoat nothing. No. Trying to fluff no, you know.
I promise you though, when I find the magic pill, I'm gonna be the first one to shout it to the rooftops.
Yeah? You're not gonna keep the secret?
No, I'm gonna take it and I'm gonna show people how it works and then I'm gonna get rich off of it.
Hell yeah, there you go. We're gonna patent and get rich off of it. We're gonna have the secret formula.
Oh my goodness. All right, guys, thank you so much. Have a great week. We'll see you on the next one.
Peace.
Thank you for listening to Candidly with Coffee. Be sure to subscribe for more candid advice from your host, Janine Escobar. And don't forget to rate and review so we can continue to bring you the best content. See you on the next episode.